chapter number 4. Don't forget, we do have what, Christmas dinner the 23rd? Amen. Coming up here at church. Service that Sunday and then Christmas dinner on the grounds. Luke chapter number 4. Amen. Brother Richie, how about pray for us? Amen. Yes, God help. Amen. Luke chapter number 4. When you come to Luke chapter number 4, verse number 1, the Bible said, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returning from Jordan, was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness." Jesus Christ, this is the great temptation of our Lord, how He was tempted and He stood on the Word of God and withstood the temptations of the devil, and the angels came and ministered unto Him. He was led up by the Spirit. And look out at verse number 16. The Bible said, and he came to Nazareth. Now, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that's what He was called because that was His hometown. That was where He was raised as a little child. And the Bible said, and He came to Nazareth where He had been brought up. And as it was custom, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And you imagine Jesus Christ at this time, 30 years of age. He is coming back to His hometown. He has been out in other places. This is the town that He was raised in. This is the synagogue that His family often resorted to. And when the Lord would go to the synagogue, they would stand up. It was customary at that time when they would read the scrolls of the Word of God, that they would stand in honor of the Word of God. It's a great principle. It still is great. The book should be stood for. But they would stand up and read. They would read certain passages of the Scripture, of the laws and the prophets. Amen. They said they would be like a Levite and a scribe that would read, and sometimes five other people. There'd be seven different people that would stand and read, they tell me. And they would stand and read the scrolls of the Word of God and make comments and so forth and so on. So the Lord comes at this time. He's came back to His hometown. This is what you would call Jesus Christ's first sermon at His hometown. I mean, He's come back to His hometown. He's never preached. He's never spoke at the synagogue. Other than that time, you read about Him as a 12-year-old boy debating with the lawyers around the Word of God. He went to the synagogue regularly and kept His mouth shut, never said a word. Surely they probably said some things were out of the ordinary, wasn't right, but He sat there in His place because it wasn't time for Him to speak. Now it's time for Him to show up, and it's time for Him to say a few words on the behalf of His Lord, His God. Amen. So He shows up in this synagogue on the Sabbath day. The Bible said in verse 17, "And there was delivered unto Him the book of the prophet Isaiah." That is the book of Isaiah in your Old Testament. "And when He had opened the book, He found the place where it was written." So the Lord Jesus Christ comes to this synagogue. He's come back to His hometown. He's going to preach His first sermon to His hometown crowd. You think about an exciting day. He's going to preach to His people. Amen. And you kind of, if you've ever been called to preach, you're going to preach to your people, and you get to preach to the people you were raised around and been around. It's kind of an exciting point. Hey man, they're going to be able to hear Him speak on the behalf of God for the first time. So the Bible said He found that place where it was written. And this place it is written is Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 and 2, as we know it today. The Bible said, "And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Here's what he read. "Because He have anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He have sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And you get the picture here. He's coming to the synagogue. Possibly somebody's already read before him. Now it's his turn to read. They hand him the scroll of Isaiah. He finds the place where it is written. He reads Isaiah 61, verse 1 and 2. Actually, the second part of verse 2 wasn't read at that time. He closed the book. He gave it again to the minister. He sat down in his place. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Now, I don't know if he sat on the front row, in the middle somewhere, but after he had sat down, everybody's just staring at him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all that bear him witness, and all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? I mean, this guy's been brought up around here. We know him. He's come here regularly. Is this not him? And he said unto them, ye will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also in thy country. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Isaiah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Isaiah sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Esaias the prophet, and none of them were cleansed save Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. And he didn't get the applause that maybe he was deserving. He's preached his first sermon and he gets wrath. With a warm welcome, I don't think they took up a big offering. I don't think anybody booked him to come back next Sunday. The Bible said, and rose up and thrust him out of the city. You ever left rejected as a preacher? You ever felt like that fell nowhere on nobody? Nobody got anything out of that, amen? You ain't never been thrown out. Not yet. The Bible said, and led him into the brow of the hill where the city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he passing through the midst of them went his way. What we've read is the first recorded sermon of Jesus Christ in his hometown. It wasn't very accepted. It wasn't very much wanted, but it was still the truth. It is found in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 and 2. What you read when you read this portion of Scripture that Jesus read in the ears of those people in the synagogue was his fivefold ministry of his first coming. When he stood up before that crowd, he kind of laid out his outline for his whole ministry. It was, he was coming home to his hometown. You know, people might kind of do that like a New Year's kind of a thing. We set out an outline of what our desire is and goals to reach throughout the year for the church and what we want to get accomplished and what we want to get done. You know, we're going to have a fall revival, a spring revival. We're going to have mission conference in the middle of the year. We're going to try to go to youth camp. And we're trying to reach out to the lost and evangelize our neighborhood. It's like an outlook of our yearly ministry. When the Lord stood up in his hometown, he gave his whole 3.5 years ministry. This is what his outline was. This was the fivefold ministry of the Lord. If you look at it, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, number one, because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He said, my ministry is to preach the gospel to the poor. Number two, he has sent me to heal up the brokenhearted. He said, that is the second part of my earthly ministry and my first coming. Number three, to preach deliverance to the captives, amen. Hey, and recovering the sight of the blind. Number four, to set at liberty them that are bruised. And fifthly, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. This was the fivefold ministry of the Lord in his earthly ministry. This is what the Lord sent him to do. I think about it after some time after John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Lord, and he kind of began to doubt whether he was the one, Jesus Christ was the one that he spoke about, of whose shoes he wasn't worthy to unloose. And when John the Baptist was locked up in prison, he sent his disciples and said, go see if he's the one. He said, go tell him the blind hear. I mean, the blind see. That'd be a miracle, wouldn't it? Amen. The deaf hear. The poor have the gospel preached in the name. You know what he's saying? He said, the things that I laid out in my ministry, I've done them. It's what God sent me to do. It was lined up and prophesied in Isaiah 61. And when the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, that was what he was going to do. He said, I fulfilled my ministry. Surely I am the one. This was his fivefold ministry of his first coming. Amen. The only thing was missing was the second part, which was His second coming. Look in Isaiah 61 with me. Hold your place here in Luke. Isaiah 61. This is where we get it from. Isaiah 61. This is the scroll that the Lord stood up and read that day. By the way, He read the Scriptures. Amen. The Scriptures. Amen. That is the Word of God. We hold in our hands the Scriptures. Amen. Hey, all Scriptures given by inspiration of God. Hey, that Ethiopian eunuch, he read in the Scriptures. Amen. For these people who don't believe, the King James Bible is the words of God. Amen. These are the Scriptures, the inspired Word of God. Amen. Hey, he didn't just have the only copy in Nazareth. The Ethiopian eunuch didn't have the copy that he stole from Nazareth to go over there and read in his chariot. They were all the Scriptures that were inspired and preserved and kept. And we've got it complete in the English language today. And we still hold the Scriptures in our hands. Amen. Well, the throw offs of the world today is we don't have the Scriptures. They had the Scriptures. Well, you mean to tell me what Jesus had in that day? You say, well, He was Jesus. Surely He had the originals. Well, okay, we might say, alright, He had them because He was God. But what about the eunuch over there in the chariot? Did he go by Nazareth and get the originals for Jesus and ride around the chariot and read them while they couldn't read them at the synagogue anymore? It's foolish, amen. The word Scripture means the inspired copies of the Word of God. And God has preserved and kept them for us today.
Yep.
And that's just a side note. Verse 61, chapter 61, verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is what he read. Because the Lord have anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He have sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. The opening of the prison of them that are bound to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. What's after that? A comma. That's where the Lord stopped reading. What the Lord read was the first part of Isaiah 61's prophecy. It was His first coming. When He showed up in shoe leather, this was the outline of His ministry. Fivefold, He poured it all out. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm accomplishing. This is what the Lord sent me to do. If he would have read on, he would have read what was appointed for him to do when he comes back. And by the way, he is coming back.
Amen.
Amen. We're about to celebrate the birth of our Lord. And what a blessed time it is of the year. Amen. You said we didn't born in December. Glory be to God. I'm just glad he was born. Amen. And we're going to celebrate the birth of our Lord. What an exciting time it is when we reflect on the fact that Emmanuel, God with us, lived on this earth. Amen. In human form, born of a virgin in a manger. Amen. And lived a sinless life and ultimately died for the sins of mankind. And when he proposed that ministry, he read about it. That's why it's important to rightly divide the Word of God. And sometimes rightly dividing the Word of God, you might even have to divide a verse of Scripture. For people who don't believe in dispensations, God divided a Scripture, much less an Old Testament and a New Testament is obviously divided. If you see that comma, look at it again, verse 2. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, he stopped, shut the book. That was it, because that was all of his first ministry. What was the second part? And the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. And he begins to show out what's the rest of it. It's the ministry of his second coming. And you better mark it down. That will take place. There's vengeance coming to this earth. There is a God in heaven. Listen to me, if you're hearing your loss, there's a God in heaven. For God so loved the world. Nobody loves you like Jesus, amen. He loved you so much that he shed his blood for you. And his love is demonstrated on Calvary on an old rugged cross. For God so loved, past tense, the world, he loved you in Calvary. And if you accept the death, burial, and resurrection of Calvary, God will save your soul.
Amen.
But if you reject that he's coming back again, and he ain't coming back as a baby, and he ain't coming back with love in his eyes, he's coming back with the eyes of a flame of fire, he's coming back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he's coming back with vengeance on all those that rejected his death, his burial, and his resurrection, don't you wind up on the wrong side of God. If you're lost tonight, I beg and plead, would you come to Jesus and be saved, for you get the wrath of God in your life. The vengeance of the Lord is coming to this earth.
Yep.
So that's not a good message. No, it's not. Amen. And it won't be good. It'll be a time like there's never been. Jacob's trouble is going to be an awful time. Amen. In the great tribulation. In the top of it all off. When he comes back, we coming back with him. And he's bringing judgment to this world.
Amen.
He closed it and said, that's not my time yet. We're not going to preach about what his time is to come. I'll show you. Let me show it to you. You want to see it? Look in Revelation chapter 19. This is what he's going to do in the second coming. that vengeance is coming. It's coming. And you go ahead and play with God if you want to. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in God. I don't believe the Bible. I don't believe in the Spirit of God. I think it's all just some kind of made up story by man. Go ahead and believe whatever you want to. There's coming a day you're going to believe it just like I believe it. You're going to believe it just like that book said it, amen. You can throw off your atheism, amen, or your doubts in God. I don't think that way, and I don't believe that way. We all the children of God, and we all going to go to the pearly gates, and hey, there ain't going to be no hell. Yes, there's going to be a hell. Yes, there's going to be a judgment, and you're going to stand before a holy God and give an account of rejecting His darling Son that loved you enough to die for you.
Amen.
And He's speaking about it over here.
Yes.
That vengeance of the Lord's coming. You want to read about it? Look in Revelation 19. Look in verse number 11. He said, here's what John said, I saw. He said, I saw heaven opened. And behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make what? War. He's going to be just and he's going to be true. And he's coming to what? He's coming to make war. Amen. Look in verse number 12. The Bible said, His eyes were as a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. Look at this. Look at verse 14. Don't miss this because I'm going to make a point on this. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses.
Yep.
Who are the armies that are in heaven? They're the ones that were raptured out in Revelation 4. That is you and I that are saved. Do you know what's happening in the fulfilling of the second coming of the Lord? We're taking part in it.
Yep.
We're taking part in the second coming ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is that vengeance, and he's letting us take part. He's coming back on that white horse, and the armies, look, the armies which are in heaven followed him upon white horses clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Why? Because we done been to the marriage supper. We've done been to the judgment where we give an account of what we've done in this body, whether it be good or bad. The things, the wrinkles has been ironed out. The filth has been washed away. Hey, we're ready to be presented to the bride, and now the bride's coming back, amen, to the millennial to have a honeymoon with his bride, amen, the groom is, and we're coming back with him white and clean. And the Bible said in verse 15, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. Ain't going to be no United Nations then. Ain't going to be no presidential vote in, and who's going to be who, Democrats and Republicans and non-believers and unbelievers. Hey, God's going to rule and judge and go straighten out this mess down here.
Amen.
The Bible said, and he shall tread the wine press of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Look back in Luke chapter number 4.
Yep.
That's the second coming. That's the second part of Isaiah 61, verse number 2, where he stopped and paused because he said, that's not my ministry now. But it is his ministry to come. And I read all that to say this, because when his ministry to come, it's important to note that when his ministry to come, God has involved us in his ministry. God has involved us in the part of coming back with vengeance. God said, you are a part of me, I'm a part of you, and you have part in my ministry. Amen. When he comes, vengeance, we are coming with him, because his business is our business.
Amen.
Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said? He made this phrase when he was a 12-year-old boy. He said, I must be about my Father's business. You know what his Father's business was when he was here on his first mission? It was to fulfill the fivefold ministry of God in this earth. This is his ministry. And I would care to say that if in his second coming is part of our ministry, I would believe that his first coming ministry is a part of our ministry. Whatever the Lord does, He has involved us and allowed us to be a part of His ministry. He has allowed me to be a part of His business. Why? Because I am His child. And God has left me to partake of the ministry of the Lord. What is the ministry of His first coming? And we see the ministry of His first coming. I believe there's practical truths of what His ministry was should still be carried out by the church today. The church will carry out part with His second ministry. And I believe we're to take part of His first ministry. So there's an outline of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in these passages, but I also believe it's an outline of the ministry of the church. Not just this local church, but the body of believers in Christ. I believe when we look at this fivefold ministry, and what I would like to do, if the Lord would allow me and help me the next couple of Sunday nights, is to break down the fivefold ministry of the Lord and see how this fivefold ministry applies to us as a church and what we should be doing in our ministry until the Lord comes to get us again. What was His ministry? Well, number one, we'll look at this first one tonight. The Bible said, "And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Well, before we can get into His ministry, we must realize without the Spirit of the Lord, you cannot accomplish His ministry. When the Lord Jesus Christ came to do His fivefold ministry, His ministry was done under the power of the Holy Ghost of God. And if you're going to do the ministry of the Lord, and if the church is going to fulfill the ministry of God, we must do it under the unction and the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus Christ Himself said, "Without Me, you can do nothing." He said that I'll go away, and if I go away, the Comforter will come into you. And when the Comforter is coming to you, He will empower you. He will show you things to come. He will reveal into you and give you the unction and power and the authority to do what God has left us to do. So when the Lord went forth to do His ministry, the Spirit of the Lord was upon Him. If we're going to fulfill the fivefold ministry of the church, we as God's people must realize, number one, our need and dependence of the Holy Spirit of God. He said, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit." You've got to have the unction and power of the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. Hey, to have the filling of the Spirit of God, you must have first, if you want to get doctrinally, the baptism of the Spirit of God. That comes when you are born again into the family of God. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, He baptized you in the body of Christ. That gave you the Spirit of God, because like the brother read this morning in Romans 8, if you have not the Spirit of God, you are none of His. Amen. Thank God I got the Spirit of God when I got saved. It indwells me, but I'm going to need it to empower me to fulfill the ministry God's given me to do. What we have is a lot of God's people that are saved, blood washed, Spirit of God lives in them, but they don't live and function by the power of the Spirit. You cannot fulfill the ministry of the Lord without the power of the Spirit of God. Amen. That comes from that feeling. If you're going to be filled with the Spirit, you've got to be emptied of your garbage.
Yeah.
You're not going to fill something up with the Spirit of God that's full of a bunch of garbage, because God's Spirit is not going to co-inhabit with a bunch of mess. You know why a lot of us don't have the filling of the Spirit? It's because we're too much full of ourselves. We're full of our hatred. We're full of our pride. We're full of our arrogancy. We're full of our sin. We're full of our disobedience. You fill in the blank. Whatever you're full of, that's what you are. And a lot of God's people are full of it. Amen. And they ain't full of God. Amen. And it shows by the way they live. It shows by the way they function. Just as a drunken man shows when he's drunk. That's the analogy, that's the comparison of be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. What does a drunk man do? It affects the way he walks. If you're filled with the Spirit of God, it'll affect the way you walk. Amen. What does a drunk man do? It affects the way he talks. Amen. You're filled with the Spirit of God, it'll show by the way you talk. You know what a drunk man does? He's generous to give all he's got. You know, if you're filled with the Spirit of God, you'll get generous to give all you got. Amen.
Amen.
It's all on me, boys. Everybody can have it.
Amen.
Yep. You know what it shows? A lot of our people ain't filled with the Spirit of God. It's not affecting their walk. It's not affecting their talk. It's not affecting their spirit. Amen. And it's shown by the way they live.
Amen.
We're going to fulfill the ministry of the Lord. We've got to have the Spirit of God. Without His Spirit upon us, we can do nothing. So what was His first ministry? What was the fivefold ministry? Let's just look at the first one tonight. Number one, look in verse 18. "And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He have anointed me." Number one, to preach the gospel to the poor. You know what the four first ministry of the church is? It is to go evangelize the world. When he laid out his fivefold ministry before that crowd, do you know what the Lord did when he showed up? Amen. He signed in by saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." He signed in with the Scripture. He said, "I'm here. This is me." What he read was reading about himself. Amen. And what itself was the ministry of the gospel to the poor. Our first ministry is to take and preach the gospel to the poor. Without this message of the gospel, the first part of his ministry, nothing else ever really mattered. Without the gospel of the church, taking the gospel message to the world, nothing else really matters. It doesn't matter what we do, you look at his fivefold ministry that he had laid out. If you don't get the first one down, all the rest of the four is not going to matter. It all starts at the gospel. It all starts at the foot of Calvary. What this world has to see, number one, is their need to be born again.
Yep.
That is the first fourth ministry of the church. It's to evangelize the world. It's to preach the gospel to the world. You know what the world doesn't like? They don't like the gospel.
Amen.
And he didn't say go out there and share the gospel. He said go preach the gospel. Do you know what the world doesn't like? They not only do not like the gospel, they don't like preaching.
Yeah.
Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. You know what they don't like? The word, because the word goes against their life. Mm-hmm. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. That truth cuts. That truth shows you where you're at, amen. That truth of the gospel shows you without him you are nothing. You know what the world thinks? There's something.
Amen.
Well, I don't need to be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell, amen.
Amen.
Saved from your stinking self will be a good start, amen. You think you're somebody? No, the gospel is how that Christ died for our sins. Do you know what the gospel message is? That you are a hell-bent sinner in need of help. That's why they don't like the preaching of the gospel, because the preaching of the gospel shows that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The preaching of the gospel shows that there's none righteous, no, not one. I don't care if it's a little baby that's in a man's hands right there. That boy's born in sin, and when he comes to the age of accountability, he's got to do business with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's none good, no, not one. We're all sinners lost without God in need of the gospel message.
Amen.
That's condemning. They don't like that. You can't go out there and tell the world they need to be born again because they don't think they need nothing.
Amen.
We live in the Laodicean age where we're rich and increase in goods and need of nothing.
Yeah.
And the Lord said they knoweth not that they're wretched, miserable, and poor.
Amen.
Preach the gospel to the poor. You know what they don't realize? They don't realize they're poor. They don't realize that they ain't got enough to buy this. You're poor. When it comes to the gospel, when it comes to being saved, you ain't got it. I don't care. You say, "Well, I go to church." You're poor. You ain't got enough church attendance. You say, "Well, I've been baptized." You ain't got enough water. Amen. You ain't read enough Bible. There's nothing you can do. You are poor in that regard. You're without nothing. The Scriptures have concluded all under sin. The first ministry is to preach the gospel. Without this message of the ministry, none of the other messages matter. The world doesn't like this message, but they need it. Amen. It's to be preached in this world. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. It's the gospel. It is the first ministry of the church. You know what the first ministry of this church is to the world? When it comes to evangelizing, it's to tell the world their need to be saved.
Amen. Amen.
Do you know what a lot of churches have? They have a lot of ministries, but they don't have any gospel ministry. And without the gospel ministry, nothing else really matters. You'd be surprised at the people that know nothing about the gospel.
Amen.
You're privileged to be blessed under the gospel message and the need of salvation to be shown very clearly. But the world has no idea how to be saved. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. This is the ministry of the church. Jesus said, "He have anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." He's outlining his ministry. What is his ministry? It's our ministry. Just as we take part in his second coming ministry, God's left us to take part in his first coming ministry. And it's still going on today. The world still needs the gospel. You don't think it was important when the Lord left and all the gospel books, he left them to go out in all the world and preach the gospel. It's still the message. It's still the truth to take reconciliation to a world that's lost without God. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, look what he says in verse 17. "For Christ sent me not to baptize." Paul said, "My ministry is not baptism, That throws a damper on these Campbellites, these Church of Christ guys that think you got to be baptized to be saved. Paul said the apostle to the church said he didn't even send me to baptize. God help, somebody needs to read their Bible, don't they? Hey, but the what? But to preach the gospel. To preach it, amen. People don't like preaching. They don't mind you sharing. They don't like you caring, but they don't want you to preach, amen. They don't want you to stand up with authority and say, thus saith the Lord, amen. When the Lord opened up the roll of Isaiah, He read exactly what the Word of God said, and it cut them, and they didn't like it. This Scripture this day is fulfilled in your ears. This Scripture says what you need. We don't like that. Preach repentance. Get right. That's what John the Baptist preached. That's what Jesus preached. Hey, get right. You're going to stand before God. Prepare to meet thy God. Amen. He sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of the world, lest the cross of Christ should be made in effect. He said, for the preaching of the cross to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Have not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God. What pleased Him? By the foolishness of preaching.
Yep.
To save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. It's still the gospel message. It's still preaching salvation. It's preaching the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you're accountable for His death. His blood is on your hand. He died for you. And if you die without receiving Him, you're going to die condemned and go to a devil's hell. That's the preaching of the cross. The ministry of the church is to preach the gospel. Preach it. Look in chapter 2 and verse 4. The Bible said, He said, for my speech and preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. We ain't trying to butter it up. We ain't trying to rhyme it and make it look good. It's not with enticing words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. You know what the world needs? The demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost. Where's Holy Ghost conviction on your wicked life? You're going to stand before a holy God. You ain't going to get that kind of conviction and say, well, just God loves everybody. We all in this thing together. It's all going to work all out. We're all going to the greater light in the sky. He ain't going nowhere but to stand before a holy God. Like somebody said, a thrice holy God. You know why you call Him a thrice holy God? I thought about that the other day. You ever heard that saying all the time, a thrice holy God? Why they say that? You ever thought about it? You know what they said over in the book of Revelation? Here's what I thought, and the Holy Ghost showed me. Holy, holy, holy. He's a thrice holy God. Amen. You're going to stand before a thrice holy God. That's going to look at you with the eyes of a flame of fire and say, why'd you reject my Son? Why'd you spit in His face? Why'd you say no to the love of God that was willing to save your soul from a devil's hell? Why'd you live contrary to that book where we're going to do nothing but bless your life and help you out of the mess you was in? But you rejected God, went your way and sowed your wild oats and fulfilled your flesh. You're going to stand before God for decisions of wickedness like that.
Yep.
I'm all right. Let me go. You're not all right. And it ain't going to be all right. You're going to stand before a holy God and give account. Well, I'll do what I want to. Go ahead and try it.
Amen.
Go ahead and try it. You're going to fail. And preaching ought to be enough to look you dead in your eye and say, you're going to fail. It ain't going to work. Your lasciviousness, your wickedness, your disobedience going to find you under a judgment of God one day.
Amen.
Preaching.
Yep. Amen.
He said He sent me to preach the gospel to the poor. Preach. Not with enticing words, but straight forth. Gun barrel straight, they used to say. Look in Romans chapter number 1. Make it real clear. Make it real plain. Make it where they understand it. Not over their head. Not with wisdom of words. Not enticing. Sweet. Straight forward, right out of the book. This is what He said. What are you going to do with that? Well, I don't care. Go ahead. Go ahead. God will break your neck. Or better than that, He might just let you live with it. There's some things worse than dying. He might just let you suffer a while. You ever seen people that wish they was done? What if God just breaks you down enough and lets you eat it for years? What if you just mess around with God and God lay you on a deathbed somewhere over there where they can't unplug you and take your life away? You're still functioning later that way like a vegetable. Oh, God wouldn't do that. Go ahead and try. He'd be just, wouldn't he? He's then reached out in mercy and asked you to get right and compassion and wants to forgive you, and you keep rejecting him and kicking back at his word. You say he wouldn't do that. You read Proverbs chapter number 1 where he said he'll laugh at you in the day of your calamity.
Amen.
He'll mock you when your fear cometh. That's the God of that book right there. Go ahead and play around with him. Preach. That's what the world needs. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 15. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to them that are in Rome also. You know what Paul was? He was ready to preach, man. He knew what God had sent him to do. Paul said, be ye followers of me as I also am of Christ. You know what Paul went forward with his ministry? He went forward with his ministry, fulfilled the ministry of the Lord at his first coming. And he preached. He took that gospel message everywhere he went. His first ministry was to preach the gospel. It was to reach out to the lost. It was to show them their need for God, whether they be Jew, whether they be Gentile. Look in Romans chapter number 10. That was the gospel message. That is the first primary ministry of the church. It is to take the gospel to the world. Preach the gospel to the poor. Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 8. He said, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we what? Preach. What do we preach? Here's what we preach. Here's how simple it is. Listen to me, sinner. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Do you know God wants to save you?
Yeah, amen.
He said in verse number 10, for with the heart man believeth in the righteous, with the mouth confession is made into salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. He said, if that didn't make it plain enough, he said in verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then he goes on to say, how? Verse 14. For how shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How can they believe? They ain't going to call if they don't believe. And he backs it up a little further. How shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? They're not going to believe it if they never heard it. You got to hear it so you can believe it. Amen. When you believe it, you'll call. And he said, how shall they hear without a preacher? If somebody don't tell them, they ain't never going to get it. You know where we're at? We're in the age when nobody's telling it. Nobody's fulfilling the first primary ministry of the Lord, but preach the gospel to the poor.
Amen.
You know what you were? A poor sinner, lost without God, with nothing. You know what the songwriter said? Hey, nothing in thy hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. I'm poor, I'm wretched, I've nothing to offer God but my own sinful self. And God said, I'll take it. Thank God for the mercy and love of God and save you despite yourself.
Amen.
They're going to hear it without preaching. How shall they preach except they be sent? Somebody's got to call. Somebody's got to send them. As it is written, how beautiful the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Preach. Look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Here's what Paul said. What Paul was doing, he was fulfilling the ministry of the Lord. His first primary ministry of the fivefold ministry of the Lord at his first coming was to preach the gospel to the poor. You know what he said? 1 Corinthians 9, verse number 18. Here's what Paul recorded to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 9, 18. He said, what is my reward? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I will make the gospel without charge, that I abuse not my power in the what? Gospel. You know what he said? You know what Paul said? Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Woe. Here God sent John out there to preach to that crowd in Nineveh. And after he had ran and fled because he wasn't fulfilling the ministry of the Lord, when the Lord came back to him, he said in Jonah chapter 3 verse 2, he said, arise and preach the preaching that I bid thee. What was to be preached? It was to be preached the gospel. Look back in Luke chapter number 4. The firstfold ministry of the Lord, it will not be fulfilled without the Spirit of God, neither that one or the other four following. We must have the anointing and the power of the Spirit of God to fulfill the ministry of the church today, which was the ministry of our Lord. It was number one to preach the gospel to the poor. Could I ask you a simple question tonight? What are you doing? What am I doing in regards to fulfilling the first primary ministry of our Lord? He's left us here to be partakers of our Father's business. This was His business. This was His ministry. This was His outline. He laid it out in His first sermon at His hometown. This is why I'm here. This is the ministry of the first coming. We will take part of the ministry of the second coming. We read it. We're going to be there. God wants us to be taking part of the first ministry. His first ministry is to preach the gospel to the poor. Could I, in closing, give you five little simple ways that we could do it? You do it, number one, by track. It's to preach the gospel to the poor. We're left here to fulfill that ministry. This is our Father's business. Do you know when it comes to the ministry of the gospel to the poor, if you are saved, you're supposed to be in that ministry. You say, well, the only people that ought to give out gospel tracts is the preachers and deacons. No, you're a part of the bride. You're a part of the ministry. Are you tracking? Are you handing out gospel tracts? You know gospel tracts work. Do you never know how much a simple gospel tract, simple plan of salvation can change someone's life that you'll never meet again on this side of eternity? Do you know how easy it is to bypass somebody and drop them a gospel tract and keep going about your business that God allowed you to pass that person that day for a reason? Amen. Does the Spirit of God never check your heart to say, hey, speak to that person about God? Reach in your pocket and give them a gospel tract. Maybe He doesn't because you don't have any in your pocket. Maybe you're not even prepared to do the ministry of God. Maybe you're not prepared to do the business. That's the business of the Lord. Hey, you ought to stuff your pocketbook with gospel tracts. You ought to put them in your car somewhere. Amen. You ought to put them in your pocket somewhere. You ought to be prepared to do the ministry. God's left us here to be about our Father's business. Yeah, we're passing by, going through. Yes, same way the Lord was when He passed through that town. But He stayed by to debate with some doctors and lawyers in the Word of God to take care of His Father's business. The first primary ministry is to take the gospel to the poor. How will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they've been sent? God has ushered us all to be sent. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, we are ambassadors for Christ. You send it out by tract. You send it out by testimony. What testimony? By speaking it. When's the last time you sat down and shared the testimony of what God done for you? You know, maybe the reason why you don't share what God done for you because you ain't even got one. If you don't have one, thank God you can get one. Yeah. But you ought to have a story. The songwriter said, I have a story and it's mine. I know it's mine. I got something to tell. The blind boy said, hey, I once was blind, but now I see. He said, who done this? Oh, man, I ain't really sure how it all worked out. I don't know all the doctrinal issues about it, amen. But a man named Jesus come by and anointed my eyes and I was blind, now I see. Amen. Hey, I don't know much, but I know I wasn't like that. Now I'm like this.
Amen.
You ain't got to know all the verses and know how to quote the Bible. And I believe you ought to study and learn how to quote and learn the verses. But you ought to be able to tell what God's done for you. Testimony. Testifying in the schools. Children, you testify in the school. You take the message there. This is the ministry. Well, I'm going to get an education. You're going to get an education. But while you're doing education, you should be about the Father's business first. If I checked in my Bible last time, I checked it, I think it said in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Do you know everything we do outside of the ministry God's left us here to do is secondary to Him?
Amen.
It is.
Amen.
But we don't live like it is. We live like everything else is firstary and God fills in wherever He can. Maybe second, third, fourth, somewhere down the ladder. The ministry. Do you testify at the schools? Do you testify on the street corners? Do you hand out gospel tracts to a sales clerk? Amen. Do you go in the stores and tell people about Jesus Christ? Amen. Hey, this is the ministry of God. Do you know how much of an impact this little lighthouse in this community could do if we as God's people, everybody in here, would do the ministry of the gospel that God's... This is it. It's laid out. He laid it right out. He went in there and said, this is my hometown. He said, this is my ministry plan. I'm here to preach the gospel to the poor. You know, wherever we go, somebody ought to know a gospel witness has been there.
Yeah.
Maybe by track, maybe by testimony. Maybe God will allow you to speak up and speak on your on the behalf of Him. Hey, number three, here's a good way, by your own tithe. If you're trying to do tease, you know, enticing words. What do you mean, preacher? Giving to missions. Seeing where you can't go. This is His ministry. He laid it out. We're supposed to be partaker of the ministry of the Lord. Are you partaking? I don't know about you, but if it's a ministry of God, if I can get my hands in it, I want my hands in it. If you tell me there's a way to go tell somebody about Jesus Christ, hand out a gospel tract, show me where they stack. Amen? If I can speak up for Him and say something on His behalf, show me where I can talk. Amen. That's the mindset we ought to have, the mind of Christ. I get in the store, somebody starts talking, I'm listening. Why? Why are you listening? I'm listening for a way to inject the gospel. Why? Wow. That's the ministry of the Lord. That's why we're here. And it's a joy to do it, man.
Amen.
What about you? You hear somebody speak about the Lord, does it intrigue you to kind of... You watch to stay out of business. The ministry. You do it by tithe, giving the faith promise, giving the missions, taking the gospel around the world. Hey, you do it by technology. You use it for all the other garbage. Right? You know why we got Facebook Live up here? It's to take the gospel around the world. Take Bible truth to somebody. Set it up. Richie said, man, we got to wait to video that thing live. Hey, do it, man. Plug it up. Why? Wow. If it works to take the gospel somewhere, let them have it. If somebody in this old world is dark and never heard the clear gospel message and never heard the Word of God preached straight, if we can get it out there, get it out there. Put it in sermon audio. Take it $40 a month. Put it in there. Put all the messages on there. Let somebody get it around the world. Use your technology for God. This is the ministry of God. Take it out through the internet, through Facebook. Use it for the right purpose. Send an email. Send a video. Send a clip. Get somebody to know about it. Use it for the glory of God.
Amen.
Technology will work. Amen. I thought about this one. Transportation will work. Transportation. Do you know what burdens my heart? And I've said it, and I'll just repeat it again, if somebody gets a burden on their side and do something with it. That when I pull up on Sunday mornings to come to this church, thank God to see the vehicles pulling in, everybody coming to church. You know what burdens my heart? Two 16-passenger vans sitting there collecting dust. Do you know what that is? That is a ministry that reached the gospel to the poor.
Amen.
That's what it is. That ought to be condemning to you. That ought to be convicting. And I preach it that way to be convicting. Because we're not using our resources to the full advantage. We're not even filling up the vehicles God's blessed us with. Inviting somebody out, going out of the way to pick up a little niece or nephew that you know that of your brother and sisters that are lost, that know nothing about God, that you might take out of your time to bring them down to church on Sunday morning and go back into Sunday school class and hear the good message. We're here to preach the gospel to the poor. Do you know how easy it would be for somebody to get a burden to take one of those 15-passenger vans to show up about 9 o'clock here at church? Park your car right beside it, climb in that van, and go down here to this trailer park, or that trailer park, or this neighborhood. Maybe go that Saturday before and make preparation and start winning the hearts of some of those family members in there and picking it up with a bunch of poor, snotty-nosed kids like you were that ain't got a hope in this old world because, Mama, they don't care nothing about God. And bring them down here to hear the gospel to the poor. That's the ministry. You know what we're doing? We're sitting back, sucking it in, man. Good to be here Sunday, ain't it? Yeah, it is, man. Glory be to God, it is. Good to be back Sunday night. But what are we doing between Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday? Sitting on everything we got. And the Lord's left us here to be about our Father's business. You say, I'm doing all I can. Hey, that's good, man. Ain't nobody saying nothing about it. But what about you that ain't doing all you can? What about you that ain't involved in tracking? You that ain't involved in testifying? You that ain't involved in tithing? You that ain't involved just using your technology? You say, I don't know much about it. Well, hey, you can't use it, but some can. I think about Ashley Moser. She ain't here. She can't be here because of the weather. Mom won't let her come. She's probably watching it right now. That is one girl that used technology to tell the world about Jesus. Amen. While you out playing all your games on your technology and spending all your time looking at garbage you got no business laying your eyes on, and you got the knowledge and wisdom some of you kids do on that technology that we couldn't even scratch at, where you could be using it for the glory of God. Where you got resources and strength to be able to drive something and pick up somebody and do something for the Lord. You know what the Lord said? He said, lift up your eyes. Get your eyes out of that junk. Get your eyes off yourself. Get your eyes out of this old world. Get your eyes off your trouble. He said, lift up your eyes, boys. Look into the fields. They're white and all ready to be harvested. We live in the biggest harvest field there's ever been to mankind when it comes to the gospel. They has never, you could say that clearly, the lost people in droves like we have it in our day. Amen. Never. That have never heard the message. That are living out there without hope unless somebody reaches out and takes the gospel to the poor. Would you be a part of His first ministry? This is His ministry. I want to be a part of what the Lord's doing. And step number one is to take the gospel to the poor. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.